Turn tonight in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 20. Preaching tonight on the subject, the treasures of truth. The treasures of truth. Beginning at verse number 13. And would like to read through verse number 22. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed." Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in prayer this evening, and as we would stand here tonight and desire to bring a message to preach, we understand, we recognize the need of divine unction and the need of divine assistance if the word tonight is to go forth with power. We know that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by thy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Tonight, our Father, we're thankful for the truth. We're glad for the precious truth of your word. We're glad for the treasures of truth. And I pray tonight now that you would help us as we look at how precious truth really is. Bless us now. Be with us. Speak to hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The treasures of truth. You know, when you stop and think about it, truth is really a tremendous treasure. Truth is seemingly harder and harder to come by. Who can you believe today? Who can you trust? It seems that truth is becoming a rare commodity. It is extremely valuable. Today is a day of falsehood, a day of deception, a day where there's many people that you can't trust them as far as you can throw them. But truth is such a precious thing. It's been said, though, that truth is like the sun. All that hides it is a passing cloud. Truth will stand. It indeed is like the sun. The sun remains stationary in place, and so does truth. It's also been said that truth is the most robust, indestructible, and formidable thing in the world. And that is certainly very, very true. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth not only sets free, as we think of its treasure, it sets free. It's truth that sets people free from sin. It's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of the Word of God that sets people free. Religion does not set people free. Truth does. Jesus is truth personified. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth has treasure. It sets free. It stands on its own merits. You can't argue against truth. Truth stands on its own merits. It defends itself. You may try to argue it away, but truth will continue to stand. You know, the early church is making its mark on Jerusalem at the time that this passage of Scripture is given. People are being saved by the thousands. Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. And in this account, a great miracle has taken place. Peter and John had been used of the Lord to heal a beggar who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, begged. And a miracle takes place. God intervenes and works. The man is healed. And in the aftermath of that experience, he's shouting the victory and walking and running and leaping around. And he was 40 years old when this miracle took place. Now, can you imagine that? All of the years of this man's life, he'd been empty, could not do anything. But now he's unloosed. Truth has set him free. The reaction of the leaders, though, is amazing. It's a curious thing how people think, how religion doesn't get it. How when sometimes the truth, as it threatens a person's position, they react in a negative way, and that's what happened here. While he was preaching, Peter and John, the Jewish leaders, caught wind of what had happened, and they show up to arrest Peter and John. And the Jews were upset by what they had seen and by what they had heard. If they had been normal, thinking the way they should have thought, they should have joined in celebration. They should have been shouting along with everybody else. They should have been rejoicing. They should have been saying, thank God it's proven and we're humble enough to accept it, that our religion is the answer. This man is healed. This man is made whole because of the truth. And if they had been thinking right, they would have said, I'm here now. I'm declaring that what I have believed all these years is wrong. And I'm embracing the same Christ that set that man free. But that's not the way they responded. While they hated Peter and John and the message that Peter and John preached, there were some things that they couldn't deny. They still couldn't stand against the truth. I mean, they could try to argue down. They could try to say that Peter and John were a bunch of kooks, didn't know what they were talking about. But when that man gets up and starts leaping and running and shouting and carrying on, and he'd been lame and couldn't do a thing, while the truth hit him in the face, they couldn't argue that down. It happened. It happened. You see, Peter and John had been with Jesus. And people took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you've been with Jesus, business picks up. When you've been with Jesus, things change. You find yourself acting different, reacting different, doing different. When you've been in the presence of God, things begin to change. The word Christian is an unusual word. Christian. Vance Havner said the word Christian ends with I-A-N. And that stands for I'm nothing. I'm nothing. You see, and then Vance Havner went on to wisely say, he said, we're zeros until we relate to Him. We're nothing until we relate to Him. You know, Jesus makes a difference in people's lives. Jesus came not to brush away the cobwebs, but thank God to kill the spider. That's what I love about the Lord. You know, a man is not the sum total of what he thinks in his head and does with his hands, but of what is in his heart. That says really volumes about what a person is. Christians, by the way, are not just nice people. Christians are new creatures. There's a lot of nice people in this world today that are unsaved. I mean, as far as nice, I know a lot of nice people that can't even spell the word new birth. Miss Les know what it means. But they're nice to you. Treat you nice. I've known unsaved people to give you the clothes off their back. Nice people. I've known people to do anything for you. But it's one thing to be nice. It's another thing to be a new creature. You see, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God for newness in Christ. Peter and John, they were misunderstood. They were not understood at all. And yet at the same time, those religious leaders, they couldn't deny what was going on. I want to give you three things tonight very quickly that are undeniable. Number one, those religious leaders could not deny the author of truth. Verse 13 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. See, Peter and John, they weren't educated men at all. They didn't have a degree. But I'll tell you, they were on fire for God, weren't they? It says an ignorant man. Ignorant. You know, it's not too nice to be called ignorant, is it? A lot of times people, you know, they'll throw that word ignorant around. They'll say that person's ignorant. Well, you know, I can handle being called ignorant. But if God's pleased with my life. You know, it's bad to be ignorant, but you know what's worse? To be ignorant and lost. At least in Peter and John's case, they may have been considered ignorant, but they sure did have the power of God on them. And it says, they marveled, they took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. They couldn't deny the author of the truth. You know, it's been told that the longer a couple is married, the more they start looking like each other. And some of you might, and Carol's already said, oh, please. It was nice that somebody set a box on that seat. I assume that was for Carol to sit on so she could see the preacher. Bad, right? But you know, there is a certain amount of truth to that, really. The more you spend or hang around people, there is a tendency kind of to start looking like them. I don't know why that seems to be a little bit true. Let me check y'all out here. You know, I believe this. I believe the more time we spend in the Lord's presence, we start looking more and more like Him. We start acting like Him. We start saying what He would say. We start doing what He would do. The more we spend in His presence. There's a spiritual carryover point there. Carryover point. They couldn't deny the author of the truth. Let me break this down further. His presence is undeniable. His presence. When Peter and John spoke, they did so with boldness. With boldness. Now, what's amazing and what really confused those religious leaders is they hadn't forgot about Peter anyway. Just a few days before that, that's the same man that denied the Lord. That's the same man that cowered in fear. That's the same man that's warming his hands at the devil's fire. That's the same Peter who a few days before that was totally the opposite. Now he stands with the boldness of a lion and declares with boldness. And the power of God is upon him. And they took knowledge of him that he had been with Jesus. He has a holy boldness. A holy boldness. That's what we need today is more holy boldness. We notice his power is also undeniable. What happened to these fellows? To make them into what they are now, what changed Peter and John? What made them so different? Again, sound like a broken record, but it's true, they had been with Jesus. When Jesus comes to life, he brings his awesome power into that life. Word awesome is a good teenage word to use these days, isn't it? Awesome power. The Spirit of God can teach you the deep things of the Lord just by His presence in your life. And that works all the time. His power in a redeemed life is undeniable. Undeniable. It is absolutely impossible to hide it if you've been with Christ. That's the very reason why many people have given their lives for the gospel. That's why missionaries have been killed on mission fields for the gospel. That's why people have suffered tremendously. They had been with Jesus. That had left a mark on their lives. And they knew He was real. And I'll tell you, when we can realize that God is real in our life now, we don't have too much of a trouble facing the future. We don't have too much of a trouble facing death when we know that God is real in our life, because we realize that just as God is real in our life now, God will be real in our life when we cross the river. The boldness. His power in a redeemed life is undeniable. He'll move us in a way and cause us to do things that we never thought we'd do. What things? The more we're with Him, the closer we walk with Him, we'll find ourselves acting like He acts, thinking like He thinks, and basically having a similar attitude like He has. He will cause us to be busy loving each other. He'll cause us to be busy helping each other. He'll cause us to be busy serving others, obeying God. It's amazing, but He cannot be denied. You know, the French Foreign Legion had a motto. It said, if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. Now, Peter and John were a member of the French Foreign Legion. Well, they had even more power and more courage and more boldness and more stamina than even members of the Foreign Legion. They had God's power. They had God's presence. People knew that they were real. Those religious leaders couldn't contest it. They couldn't argue it down, because they saw a radical change that took place in Peter and John's life. And I want to say tonight, God is real today. God is real in 2015. God is able to energize us today. God is able to cause revival in a church. God is able to turn our lives around if we'll but trust Him. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible the Spirit of God's been removed. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible that local churches can't have revival. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible that Christians can't get victory over sins and Christians can't walk with God with victory. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible, but I've read contrary to that, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the power of God. And that's what will get us through, and nothing else will. People know, but we're real. Peter and John weren't too big on education, but they were mighty big on exaltation. They were white-hearted, we could say. They were whole-hearted, and they were humble-hearted. They were white-hearted. Their life had been turned around. Their hearts had been made white. They were genuine. They were real. They were whole-hearted. They now care about others. Their thoughts are in others. They're humble-hearted. They're quick to give God the glory, God the praise. They're not proud at all, but they're walking humbly before God. Y'all heard about this lady, didn't you? Who was a very proud, braggadocious lady. She had a lot of money. And she was bragging one day in the presence of someone in her house. She had maid service. She had everything going for her. She was bragging about the fact that a chair that was in her living room, she pointed at it. She said, that chair right there is very valuable. She said, that chair there goes all the way back to Louis the 14th. The old maid spoke up about that time. She said, well, that's nothing. She said, mine goes back to Sears on the 13th. Peter and John, they were humble. They were humble. They had boldness. They spoke with boldness. They were bold in their witness. They could not be squelched. The truth cannot be denied. There's an old preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright, one of the most colorful frontier preachers that pioneer America ever knew. Born in Virginia, 1785. Just 2 years after the treaty was ratified, ending the American Revolution, he became a traveling preacher. He preached the gospel to the backwoods area of the new country that had been established. He was scheduled to preach at a certain point at a gathering of people, and scheduled to be in that gathering was General Jackson, who now had become president of the United States. And old Peter Cartwright was a bold preacher. He said it just like it was. And someone came up to him and basically put a bug in his ear and said, listen, the president's going to be in this room tonight, so be careful what you say. Remember now, the president will be in this room. The preacher gets up. He starts preaching. The president is seated there in the audience. And he said this. He said, if the president of the United States does not get saved, he'll die and go to hell. There was a timid preacher in the presence that went up to President Jackson after the bold preacher had made that statement, trying to apologize for Peter Cartwright's statement. And the general approached Peter Cartwright at the end of the service and went up to him and shook his hands. And he said, Christ ministers ought to love everybody and fear no mortal man. And then the president said, if I had an army, if I could only have a few thousand soldiers like Peter Cartwright, he said, I could turn this country upside down with the boldness that that man had. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I believe that God makes His people bold. God gives us the courage to stand. What I'm saying tonight is when it came to Peter and John, they're preaching, the religious crowd, they could not deny the author of the truth. Number two, they couldn't deny the demonstration of the truth. The demonstration of it. They see the man that's now been healed. He's standing there, and they all know it. No doubt they've seen that same man many times sitting in the temple and begging. They probably had ignored him. They probably hadn't given him any money at all, any alms to help. Now he's standing in their presence on his own feet, indicating what God had done. And I mean, it just hushed their mouth. A miracle had taken place. They couldn't deny it. I mean, no one but God can take that cripple who can't even walk and put him on his feet. And not only put him on his feet, but he's jumping up and down and just carrying on having his own little personal revival there, able to walk for the first time. They couldn't deny that. You see, they couldn't deny the author of truth. Now they can't deny the demonstration of truth. They could say it's not true, but how could they deny that person's changed life? It's been said, you're the only Bible the careless world will read. You're the sinner's gospel, you're the scoffer's creed. You're the Lord's last witness given in deed and word. What if the print is crooked? What if the type is blurred? People may deny what we say, but they can't deny a change that's taken place in our life. They can say you're a liar, but if they see a change, they have to scratch their head and walk away. They can't deny what's taking place. That's what God does all the time when He saves a sinner. That's what takes place in people's lives when God saved them. If you would have known me before I got saved, I'd have scared most of you to death by my rebellious background and the way I was when God found me. I dare say tonight that's probably true of everybody in this service in some way, shape, or form. Some of you may have gotten saved relatively early and maybe didn't run the full gamut of sin, but it took just as much of the blood of Christ to save you nevertheless as it did to save the biggest bum in the gutter. A religious person needs the same amount of the blood of Christ to redeem them as a vile sinner, because after all, we're all sinners in God's sight. There's one sin that keeps us out of heaven, and that's the sin of unbelief. We're not condemned to hell because of the plurality of sin. We're condemned to hell because of the singular nature of the sin of unbelief. Here it is. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. It's unbelief that sends a person to hell. But my, what a change when Christ comes in. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, I stumble all the time. And I'm certainly not proud many times of where I am as a Christian. And I have my share of mistakes, sins, if you will. I struggle like everybody else. But thank God I can stand here tonight and look this congregation in the face. And I can say by the grace of God, I'm not what I was. I'm not what I one day will be when I'm glorified in His presence. But I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I can say that though. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. He changes a person's life, my friend. They could not deny what had taken place in the lives of Peter and John as far as the boldness of the messengers. And then they certainly could not deny the demonstration of the truth, how it impacted that person's life who had been a cripple. But now he's standing on his own two feet, rejoicing and praising the Lord. When God saves a soul, He brings a convert out of darkness, out of death, out of depravity. This man now can walk. He now can walk. You know, chapter 3, verse 2 of Acts tells us he was born blind. Chapter 4, verse 42 tells us he was 40 years old when he got healed. When he got healed. Or born lame, I meant to say, not blind, lame. Then he was 40 when he was healed. That's 40 years now. We're talking 40 years. Oh, okay, give him a little credit now. We know as an infant, as a little child, he couldn't walk anyway. Let's knock off what? When does kids start walking? 5? Some of us were not only not walking when we were 5, we were bedwetters till we were 15. Didn't mean to say that. Some of us a little slower. I don't know why I was thinking 5. I thought that was magical age. I used to be so dumb when I was a kid. I thought that when a baby was born, they were just like a little dog or a little rabbit that didn't open their eyes until they were... I really used to think that. Well, if I can make you laugh, I've succeeded. 40 years, or 38. He can now walk. I mean, that's amazing. You know, you know, you wonder about that. Since he had never walked, I bet he looked like a baby, just a toddler, just starting out. But yet at the same time, the way I read it, he not only started walking, but he walked like he'd been walking for 38 years. It's amazing, isn't it? He now can walk. They can't deny it. He now can worship. This man went to the temple, not to worship, but to beg, you remember. While he was there, he got more than what he had bargained for. He got healed. He doesn't know much about God, but I'll tell you one thing, he sure is in a praising mode right now. That's a change that can't be denied. They can't deny the truth. They can't deny the demonstration of the truth. Isn't that what happens when a sinner comes to Christ? The change is dramatic. The change is instant. The person suddenly has a desire to worship and to please the Lord. A person now has an appetite for the things of God. You know, I didn't have an appetite for the things of God before I got saved. I had no appetite at all, because that's the way it is when you're unsaved. That's the very reason tonight why some people, it doesn't bother them at all that they're not serving the Lord, that they don't read the Bible. They don't have an appetite. God gives you an appetite. God gives an appetite. God gives an aptitude. It's amazing. He changes us in so many ways. Appetite for the things of God. And I'll tell you something else. You're really getting along with a healthy spirituality when your appetite is a deeper appetite and on more substance. None of us can live off of strawberry shortcake. We need We need the deer cube steak too. Putting in a little punch here. But you see, we need the appetite for the things of God. And a Christian is being blessed and the Lord is working in their lives when they develop an appetite to get in the Word and to learn more. But that's a part of it, you see. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, He just gives us an interest in the Savior. He does. Because He said, well, Jesus said in John 16, when He has come, He'll not speak of Himself, but will speak of me, honor me, magnify, glorify the Lord. And you can tell the Spirit of God's working in people when they just love the Lord, want to glorify Him. That's a sign the Holy Spirit of God is having way in our lives. There's an appetite change. And this man now, he has a desire for the things of God. He's worshiping the Lord. So they couldn't deny. They could not deny the author of truth. That's the Lord. They couldn't deny the demonstration of truth. That's this man that's now walking. And then they couldn't deny the substance of truth. If we had time, we could look at 17 through 20. We see the substance of truth. Well, let me just read a little bit here. It says in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Substance. They couldn't hold back. They had to give it out because it had substance. You know, the message that we preach today is still the same message that they preached. The Bible is still current. It's still powerful. Still is substantive. The Word of God still today will do the same thing. It's life-changing. It's soul-saving. It's, what is the substance, you say? Here's the substance. It's a message that has a substance of love. The gospel has a substance of love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us so much that He took our place upon the cross. The love of God. Oh, that's a great substance. That's wonderful. Have you ever thought about the love of God? The love of God's a wonderful thing. You know, the love of God is eternal. Everlasting love. Eternal. The love of God is unconditional. Think about that. God does not need a condition to love us. His nature is love. He loves us unconditionally. God loves us regardless of what we've done. There's nothing that can ever change the attitude of God towards us. It's an unconditional love. That's not like us, is it? You and I, our emotions are conditional many times. Someone treat me right, I'll treat them right. Someone, you know, someone talk nasty to me, I'll pull a Donald Trump on them too. That's what you call a conditioned emotion. But God's not that way. Unconditional love. The love of God is eternal, it's unconditional, it's selfless, and it's without discrimination. The love of God. Substance of love. Substance of life. They couldn't deny the substance of the truth. This man's not a cripple anymore. This man now is the real deal. So, in closing, basically, there's Peter, there's John. Peter got off to a bad start. But God came upon him, power of God's upon him. His life is turned around. Now he's standing up there bold as a lion. They couldn't deny it. And the truth that he delivered had substance, had God's power upon it, and that could not be denied. I say tonight to all of us, just be what God would have us to be, and the world may not like it, but the world can't deny reality. Just live for the Lord. Make up your mind. You're going to just live for God. If everybody turns against you, just be thankful to God. You're pleasing the one that matters the most. The truth not only sets free, but the truth has substance. What a blessing. Truth is a precious commodity. live the truth, walk the truth, speak the truth, and do the truth. And God will be pleased in our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer.